again, everybody. Hope you all had a nice weekend.
Welcome back to the Bob and Larry Show.
Sorry we couldn't run over to Farter.
Well, that's come and gone. Well,
yes,
I know you haven't got over it yet. Gotten over it.
Well, the reason I brought it up again is that the bills are coming in now.
Well, I know
that.
I happened to read one of the lead stories in the Bob and Ray mailing list newspaper that's going out pretty soon.
Oh.
And it referred to you as being in some hot water in regard to the party expenses.
That's right. It's more like hot oil I'm in because the pressure's getting, almost unbearable. The phone calls. You know, do you ever hate to answer a phone call?
Yeah,
right, going
sure.
To somebody saying, hey, how about the bill?
Yeah.
I hate to go out, but when I open the door, I look up and down the street before I step out. In other words, I'm spooked, you know?
Well, I can't be surprised.
But I sure had a wonderful time.
Well, it was a good party.
It was worth it. It was certainly worth it.
Seemed to have a lot of fun.
Why don't you go sit down, Webb? You're taking up too much of our time.
Incidentally, we reopened that mailing list, and you still can get your name on it if you hurry and send us a card or a letter.
Have a good time.
With your name and address.
Anyone would throw a party like that and not have the money.
Now, don't berate him. Don't berate him too much. He's had it real bad since last week. It's a sick laugh.
Oh, boy.
Let me hear you laugh again, Liz. Not the old...
No, it's not really a wholehearted laugh. It sounds to me like it's a thin thread between that and a cry or a sob.
Yeah. Yes. It's nearer to a cry than anything. We have with us this evening a man with whom many of you are quite familiar, I think, Mr. Harlow Hunt. Mr. Hunt is the man in charge of the secret camera program, the camera that eavesdrops on you and catches you off guard for posterity. You know who I mean? Mr. Hunt, would you come in here and have a few words with us?
Hello there, and you never know when the secret camera is pointed at you.
Wonderful to have you here, and tonight I understand you're going to show us a few of the films that you can't show on television because of circumstances beyond your control. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
All right, well, Joe Cabibbo, will you roll the film, and let's let the folks hear about it. There we go. Let's see, that seems to be a painter with you there, isn't it?
Let's see, yes. Can we have a couple of the lights out? Thank you.
Yeah, turn the lights out.
Yeah, that was a painter. I had hired him to paint my house green.
But he's painting it orange in this picture.
Yeah, well, you see, I originally told him to paint it brown. Then after he finished, I told him, I said green, not orange. And he was a good sport and painted it over again orange. Then... I told him I had said green.
Oh, I see now, and he's painting it green now in this color film.
Yes. And there, you see, I come out of the house again. You can see me to the right of the picture.
Yeah.
And I come up, and I'm telling him now that it's the wrong shade of green.
Oh, boy. What's he doing now?
He's pouring the can of paint over my head.
Oh, yeah, now he's hitting you in the eye there.
Now he's sticking the paintbrush down my throat.
Now he's knocked you down completely, and he's painting you green.
That's right. Turned out he didn't have much of a sense of humor. Usually we can tell.
Uh-huh.
That fella we surely misjudged.
Here's another scene here. Seems to be a drugstore, I guess.
Yes, now that's me behind the counter. Now, you watch the couple entering on the right here.
The guy in the black pinstripe suit and the girl in the tight dress.
That's right. Now, they're sitting at the soda counter there, and they're ordering two lemon phosphates. Now, watch what happens after I serve them the lemon phosphates.
You're reaching across, and you're hugging and kissing the girl in the tight dress.
That's right. Now, if you look closely, you'll see him pull a gun.
Oh, yeah, and he's shot you in the right shoulder.
That's right. And now he's shooting me in the left leg.
Now, he's hitting you on top of the head with the gun butt.
Yes. You see, we almost used this one on TV, but we couldn't get the girl's permission. She had a steady boyfriend, and she was afraid he might see her out with this other guy.
Well, now, what's this? You're walking across the street holding a traffic light on top of your head.
Yes, Bob, but that's a special light we had made for this stunt. It's green facing me and red facing the traffic.
Well, I noticed when you walked out into the street carrying it there, all the traffic stopped on a dime, and it created quite a chain reaction.
Yes, you see, all the traffic banged into each other. There must have been over 100 cars that smashed together in inside of 10 seconds. Now, watch this.
Oh, yeah, a policeman's coming over. and he's grabbing you by the arm.
Now I'm showing him my honorary sheriff's badge and kicking him in the shin.
Now he's taking your honorary sheriff's badge and bending it like a pretzel.
Yes. And now he's taking me and bending me like a pretzel.
And now there you are in jail behind bars.
That's right, that's me. We would have used this one on TV also, but I didn't get out of jail in time, and there was no other program, could use it.
I'm afraid we don't have time to see the rest of your secret camera goofs, but they certainly have been fun.
Well, I've got some good ones. When they hung me in Texas for horse stealing.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks again, Harlow Hunt, and your secret camera for coming here and giving us a little inside story of television.
Thank you, and don't forget a word of warning. You never know when the secret camera is pointing at you.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. You say you want an economy car, but you don't want to sacrifice performance and comfort. Chrysler Corporation cars give all three, performance, comfort, and the kind of economy other car makers only talk about. Want proof? Look at the results of the 1960 Mobil Gas Economy Run. Chrysler Corporation cars took more firsts in class than all other cars combined. Four firsts out of six classes plus 5 seconds and 2/3. A record no other car manufacturer even came close to. The winning Plymouth in Class B, for instance, averaged 24.82 miles per gallon, while the compact Valiant delivered a healthy 27.29 miles per gallon. Wouldn't you like to have economy like this going for you? Then you'd better see your dealer and try a Valiant, Plymouth, Dodge Dart, Dodge, DeSoto, Chrysler, or Imperial. Let it drive, bring out the difference great engineering makes. Why not today?
Hi, sports fans. This is Jimmy Porter, and this is the Porterhouse of the Air. I'm here at the mess hall at the Florida training camp of the Fort Lincoln Blues, and it's a fantastic sight watching these baseball players eat after a day on the ball field. We'll be talking to a few of these healthy athletes in just a second or two. Right now, I'm standing over Tom Fobbs, brilliant left-hander of the Blues, right over his chair. Tom, I'd like to ask you...
it's you, Porter. Flake off.
Tom, yeah. I'd like to compliment you on your brilliant three-inning stint on the mound this afternoon. You were sensational.
Boy, I was home in bed with the flu this afternoon.
Brilliant effort, just brilliant. You think you'll do as well the next time out?
Look, isn't it enough that you pester us in the locker room, Porter? You got to follow.
Tom, in the interest of accurate reporting, is that a steak or a chicken you're eating?
Why don't you beat it, huh, Porter?
Wonderful, Tom. Just wonderful. And I'd like to repeat, you look better out there in the mound than you've looked in three or four seasons. I understand you're due to pitch again tomorrow.
Board of the club just gave me my unconditional release. I'm leaving tonight.
Great, Tom. I'll be looking for you on the mound tomorrow. I'm moving along here. And yes, it's Bill Gans, Fort Lincoln's clever sign-stealing coach. Now, Bill, say hello to the folks.
Take off, Porter. If I have to lose my appetite on account of you, you're going to get a slam right in the kisser.
Bill, as a clever sign-stealing coach, I wonder...
Porter, I play first base. I never coached. I never stole a sign in my life.
I noticed you out there in the coaching box behind third base during today's game.
Is this guy an idiot?
I've never seen more signs stolen in my 20 years of covering the sports beat.
Hey, Porter, you better duck. Here comes Pop Stendel, our manager.
Folks, coming my way is Charlie Pop Stendel, brilliant rookie sensation of the Fort Lincoln Blues.
Hey, Porter, are you bothering my boys?
Right over here, Charlie, into the mic, if you will.
Porter, who gave you permission to come in here?
Charlie Dendel, rookie phenomenon.
Porter, these are my ball players eating here. They hate to be disturbed at mealtime. Now, unless you have a message of importance for my men, get out of the mess hall.
I won't stand for talk like that from a rookie. You make one move to throw me out of the mess hall, and I'll tell my listeners the ball players down here eat bananas and coconuts at all times.
You asked for it, Porter.
You get it, ladies and gentlemen. Charlie Dendel got inside my tight defense and floored me with a left hook. It was a beauty.
Get it straight, will you, Porter? It was a mild right jab.
And this is Jimmy Porter.
Boys,
reminding you to tune in next time for the Porterhouse of the Air. And now let's call in my broadcasting partner, Skip.
Where's Gil McDougal? He said he'd show those rookies on the field how a guy gets to be one of the best infielders in the American League. Ah, here's Gil now.
Sorry I'm late,
Skip. I stopped at the service station for a spring oil change and a fresh Fram oil filter in my car. You need clean oil and a new filter, too? Isn't an oil change enough? Heck no. That's like taking a shower, then getting back into the same dirty uniform. You need a fresh Fram oil filter to keep your oil clean between oil changes. You seem sold on those Fram filters, Gil. Sure am. Fram's the pioneer in the engine filter business. More service stations sell Fram filters than any other brand. Okay, Gil, you sold me. I'll use Fram, too. Now, about those... Take a tip from Gil McDougal, versatile Yankee infielder. Get a Fram filter. Nothing cleans oil and protects your engine like a Fram filter. That's Fram, F-R-A-M. Fram filter.
Thank you, Skip. And this is Bob again.
Who is that, Skip?
I don't know.
Who hired him, anyway?
The partner of... Mr. Porter there.
Well, okay.
We're in our studio audience segment of today's show with a question that we thought might get some interesting answers. It is this: what do you think of the forthcoming marriage of Princess Margaret to Commoner Anthony Armstrong Jones? You, sir, how do you feel about the impending marriage?
Well, it's up to them. I mean, they're grown up. They should know what they're doing, you know.
What do you think of the princess marrying a commoner?
What's that, man?
I mean, the business of... Anthony Armstrong Jones not being in Burke's peerage. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel that a man should feel free to go where he pleases, including the place you just mentioned. After all, this is 1960. You know?
Well, I take it you think the marriage will be a good one, then?
Well, only if she lets him go where he pleases every now and then. I mean, both parties have to use a little common sense in a thing like that.
Do you feel after they marry that he should be able to get out of the castle every now and then?
That's right. You know, a man can get pretty sick of castles. It's been my experience.
Well, thank you very much, sir, for a mature attitude regarding the forthcoming marriage. And now, let me see if I can find someone else.
Well,
ma'am?
Let's say it's a give-and-take proposition all the way.
All right. Lady, how do you feel about the marriage?
Well, I feel that I'm well qualified to answer the question of that marriage because, you see, I'm a commoner myself.
I was wondering about that when I spotted you.
Yes, I am. Well, I happen to have my own formula for a happy marriage, one that would apply to any marriage, too.
Well, that's good. Could you tell
I
us
think
what it is?
That if they go swimming once a week, every week, they'll have a very good and lasting marriage.
I see.
There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. You ever notice all those swimmers?
Yes.
Well, they look fine, don't they?
Yes, they do. It's very helpful. Yes. Thanks for bringing your formula for a happy marriage to my attention.
Free of charge, young man.
Thank
what
you.
You think, lady? That's a plug.
You in the blue suit there, how do you feel about it?
Come up here. What?
How do you feel about it?
I don't know. I haven't given it too much thought, really. But I'll tell you this. I don't think he's going to like it because if he marries her, you have to trail four paces behind the princess, you know?
Yeah, I've read that. It's something to do with royal protocol, isn't it?
Yeah, now if this guy's a photographer like a Reed, she's going to be blocking his way a lot. And he's not going to get very good pictures. Think I'm right?
Well, if she's a good sport and decides to move to one side, I guess it wouldn't
be. Wait a minute. Let me ask you something. How many princesses have you known who've turned out to be good sports?
The prize question of the day today goes to Miss Rosario, 1219 Barrington Place in Brooklyn.
Gee, time for us to run along, I believe. But we'll be back, though, to say goodnight in just 10 seconds.
All right, sir. Thank
Until,
you.
Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
This is San Francisco, KCBS AM FM. San Francisco, KCBS AM FM.